We're so glad to have Larry and Zella here with us. Amen. What Amen. A blessing. And we're glad to report to you that Brother Larry and Zella presently are retired. Zella's still teaching at school, but Brother Larry's retired.
She's working and I'm playing pawpaw, so I'm having a great time. Yeah, yeah.
But we're so glad to have them here in our home, and what a blessing it's been
Amen.
To
Thank you, Lord.
Renew acquaintance and to share stories and events that have caused us all to laugh till our sides hurt. But I'm glad that Brother Larry has consented to share the Word of God with us
Amen.
Today. May God
Amen.
Bless you, Larry.
Thank you, brother.
I know he
Love
has
you,
through the years.
Amen. Love you. I better move this or I'll knock it down. Hey, church, I know without saying, I know that you know what a great pastor you have. And I told myself I wasn't going to get emotional. But Jonathan means so much to all of us, I know that. And he's hurting, so we're all hurting. And it's no fluke. He really is hurting. So, Lord, be with my brother today. I told him the other day on the phone, I said, I've got to tell you something, but I can't tell you until I get to tell the whole congregation. But I said, I thoroughly enjoy his preaching. And a lot of times, how many of you have stayed home and watched online? I know we got folks online watching this morning, or they said they were. So if they didn't, they lied to me. So, but anyway, I watch a lot of times, and you know, Zella said, especially when we first started all this stuff, I will preach here in a minute. So hang on. The amazing thing was I would watch 6 or 8 services. Well, after a couple of services, Zella said all the scriptures ran together. She just forgot the rest of them, so she went on. But a lot of times, Jonathan, at 10 o'clock at night, which would be 9 o'clock your time because we're an hour ahead of you, I would click on and I'd watch Jonathan's message and I'd stay awake and listen to the whole message. And then another brother that I helped start getting involved in ministry, I told him recently when I was back in Donovan, I told him, I said, Danny, I hate to tell you that. I said, but baby, you put me to sleep almost every Sunday night. And so he does. But I told Jonathan, I said, I got to tell this. A young man that we value his life, and he's full-time and associate right now. He's the next Chris Tomlin. He'll kill me for saying that, but he's the next Chris Tomlin. His name is Jalen Andrews. Special young man. And I took him back when he was just very, very young playing the guitar. And I would take him to the nursing home to see Pearl. And everybody, no, not really. That was just a story. You know where I'm going. But it was so amazing because I took him that one Sunday and we're up there singing. And way back in the back, I love your series that Jonathan's doing right now. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the, and I promise you, poor little old Jalen was up there singing and trying to play the guitar and sing. And we're busting. And he goes, Brother Larry, that lady in the back is disrupting. And she was singing the whole time. He's got the little bitty baby in his. And she was not going to hush until we sang that song. So we had to sing that song. So every Sunday when you get up and say, he's got the whole world, I'd go right there. I just do. I told Debbie this morning, and thank you so much, Debbie, for covering us this morning. But, you know, I told her last night again today. Some of you will remember this, but Pat, Philip, you were young, baby. You were young. Take 35 years off of your life. Where were we 35 years ago? We were right here. You were without an associate for 2 weeks because Tony left. We came for the revival. And the next week, then we came to be your associate. 35 years ago, right now, the very first Sunday in November was our first Sunday, 35 years ago. So now, is that not unbelievable? The Lord knew all this. The Lord knew all this. And he even knew that Jonathan was going to hurt his back. I promise you, I told him on the phone the other day, I said, hey, this morning they were going to the doctor, right, Jonathan? They were going to the doctor. And I promise you, it's just overwhelming spirit. And I thought, you know what? We were just going to go because Zella's on fall break this week, and she is. Teachers, God bless you, because teachers, you're working more now than you've ever worked in your life. I promise you that. 10 o'clock every night, or she says not every night, but almost every night. Saturday, Sunday, she's still doing stuff. I mean, it's crazy, the school year this year. It really is. Right, Paul? And so anyway, we were doing that, and I promise you, just overwhelming spirit that I thought, you know what? We're going to go see Wayne and Marie. Johnson's going to ask me to preach for him Sunday, and he did. So that was the Lord. That was the Lord. I mean, you can't make that stuff up. Can I tell you this morning? None of us have ever walked this way before. None of us have never, we've never dealt with stuff that we've dealt with over the last how many months and stuff like that. Truth be told, Truth be told, none of us have ever walked in the situations that we're in today. Jeremiah's got a great word for us this morning. Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 21 through 28 is where the word is. And you can stay there, but then I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians after a while, just in a minute too. But Jeremiah talks to us there about some real truths in our life that I think today that we need to hear the truth. How many of you know that you've been lied to in the last week? Anybody? Some of you have been lied to this morning because, you know, you walked into church this morning and said, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing great." "No, you're not. Your family's dying and going to hell and you don't even care." Now, I can preach like this now because I don't have to pastor a church now. I get to come and visit. Hello? Thank you, Jesus. You know, Jonathan may like to say some of those things sometimes, but he can't. But I just think about how unreal it really is today as far as the society and the things that are being piped into our life that we've been told to be true that we found out later this none of it's been true. But I think about how the Word of God is still true for us. If you have your Word this morning, I don't do this often, but the Lord just impressed upon me on this. If you have your Bible with you, your sword, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning and let us pray over God's Word this morning? In verse 21, Jeremiah says it this way to us. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. "Go ahead, add your burnt offerings to your other sacrifices, and eat the meat yourselves. For when I brought you and your ancestors out of Egypt and spoke to them, I did not just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices, but I gave them this command: obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all the command that I command, that it may go well for you." And yes, but they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed their stubborn inclinations of their own evil hearts. They went backwards and not forwards. From the time your ancestors left Egypt until now, day after day and again, I sent you my servants, the prophets. But they did not listen to me or pay attention. They were stiff-necked and did more evil than their ancestors. And here's the key two verses I want you to hear this morning. But when you tell them all this, they will not listen to you. When you call to them, they will not answer. Therefore say to them, this is the nation that has not obeyed the Lord its God or responded to his correction. Truth has perished. It has vanished from their lips. O church of God, we need to hear that today. Has the truth vanished from our lips? Is our Christian walk and talk still the same today that it always has been? What is your relationship like today? Pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for this moment. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, it's not by accident, not by happenstance that anybody's here today. Lord, we know that and we take that as an honor and a privilege, Lord, to be able to speak and preach your word again this day. Lord, where it all started all those years ago in 1985, we've come full circle. Here we are again this morning. We think how real your word is to us today. Truth be told, is the truth really still being told? It is in this pulpit, because I listen to their pastor and he still preaches the truth. So Lord Jesus, this morning I pray, bless. I don't want them to see Larry Earl and get a good look. I want them to hear the messenger of the hour. Lord, bless this day now, I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, Jeremiah in the first two verses, or first three verses there in chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23, he set up a system as far as God has set up a system as far as the sacrifices to encourage the people. And the Word of God says to joyfully as far as to obey him. And you know what? He required the people, yes, to make all these sacrifices, and not because the sacrifices pleased God himself, but because it caused the people to recognize their sin. You know, people don't know what sin is anymore. I mean, it's amazing to me as far as how amazing it is to me of how things that we brush under the carpet or we say, well, that's just them. No, sin is still sin. And it's still amazing to me as far as how overwhelmingly the church has taken a step backwards instead of step. This is the finest hour for the church that we've ever had. Can I say it again? We ought to be the people of prayer. We ought to be in people's faces. Yes, I don't care if you're wearing a mask or not, but you ought to be sharing God's gospel with somebody. Because this is the finest hour that we've ever. People are in need today. They need Jesus. And they need us because we're the flesh people of Jesus. So Lord, help us today. But when he's saying this, when Jeremiah's saying this, he said, you know what? It caused him though to realize that there was sin in their life and it caused him to change. When was the last time that you really asked the Lord Jesus Christ to change this old heart? He'll change this life. Lord, change my disposition. Change whatever, because again, Jeremiah reminded him, the people, that they were acting so religious. You know what? I still love the old church first Frigidaire. You know, I belong to this. I don't care how many churches you belong to. Do you have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because again, people today are so religious. You know, we're all about, oh, I know Jesus, but do you know Jesus? Totally different. Totally different there. And Jeremiah reminds him of that in those first three verses, because he says, you know, unless you're prepared to really give God every area of your life, you're not really ready to be a part of God's kingdom. But verse 21, when he says, go ahead, I love that, when he says, go ahead and add your burnt offerings and the other sacrifices. In other words, he said, go ahead and do your own thing. Let me ask you, over all this whole time, you've been doing your whole thing. How's that working out for you? I mean, is that really working good? We are better off today than we've been in years. Come on, church, amen or oh my. We really are. We're better off today than we've ever been in years, as far as most of us sitting in this room. Now, I know there's situations that's going on, but I'm telling you what my brother prayed for. There are people that are depressed. There are people that are stressed. I told my brother this morning, and we talked about it this morning, as far as, again, way back there, and I think I probably told Jonathan this too, but I said, guys, you better get ready, because, you know, I was already out of it when this happened. I was already retired, but I said, you better get ready. There's going to be more divorces in the church, outside the church, everything like that. Because guess what? Mom and dad was all of a sudden, they were struck together, and they didn't think they really liked each other after all. I told Zella one day, we were by ourselves there, and all of a sudden school went online, totally online. And I looked at her one day and I said, baby, you've always wanted to be with me 24/7. I hope you love me after this is all over with. And we were together all the time. Well, we're still together. Thank you, Jesus. So. She's a praying wife, I know that. But it's amazing to me as far as Jeremiah talks about this, but I love what he says in verse 25, because he said, from the time of Moses, and this is in the Old Testament, I know that, but he said, from the time of the Old Testament period, he said, God has sent a prophet, and he said, here he says, I've sent him to Israel and Judah, and no matter how bad the circumstances were against all the spiritual stiff-neckedness, well, I don't like those songs, so I ain't going. Well, I'm afraid when we get to heaven, there may be some praise courses that some of you don't like. Tough. Suck it up, bucko. It's just, I mean, Wayne, I love the songs that you sang this morning, and it was wonderful. Sweet spirit in the house. And so again, I know none of us like change. You know what that really is? It's our preferences. I prefer this. I prefer that. You know, that's all it is. And guess what? I was going to ask this at the end of the message, but I'll ask you now. How many of you ever listened to K-Love? Do we have K-Love here? Do we have K-Love in Birmingham? Do we? No? Y'all don't know what K-Love is? Some of you do. The rest of you, you're still living in the Stone Ages. Okay, anyway. But anyway, yeah, I'm as old as I am, and I love K-Love. It's on 24/7 in the house or the car or the truck, whatever. But I think what he says right here to us, though, again, he said that spiritual attitude that you all have, I don't care. Y'all can change all you want to, but I ain't changing. I'm going to sit right here. Jesus passed by and we didn't even know it. Lord, help our spiritual attitudes to be right with God. It's not my attitude. It's not my pleasure, whatever. It's what Jeremiah is saying to us right here. It gets within the church. And guess what? In this period of time, oh, it's so easy to bow up that neck and say no. I got a pastor friend that literally, he made the decision. They like to crucify him. But he made the decision to close down church. Do you know how easy it was to close church when all this happened? Lord, help us. It was so easy to close church. We've had a better opportunity online. People are watching us this morning. We've had a greater opportunity than ever in the history of the church to reach people of the Lord Jesus Christ because of Facebook and everything else. Quit yah-yahing about Facebook. I know it's ugly sometimes, but it's a good means, too, to get out to people. Some of them are worshiping St. Mattress this morning and laying in bed watching us. I don't care if they're watching in their PJs. Just praise God. I hope they got some clothes on. But I just know sometimes it's amazing to me how people come back to us and talk to us and say, I watched you. I get to mentor some of the little pastors there in Tennessee and stuff like that. And one young man said one time on one of the conference calls with us, and I know some of them will watch this too, but they were at the conference call, and he said, yeah, a lady walked by the church and was walking her dog, walking across the parking lot, and looked at the pastor She didn't even know he was the pastor, and she was a neighbor the next door of the church, and said to him, "Hey, I caught your service on Facebook yesterday. You got a good little church, and you're a good little preacher." He said, "Well, thank you." I said, "Well, did you ask her to come to church?" "Well, no, Brother Larry, I didn't." I said, "Duh. I mean, she asked you, she opened the door for you and gave you the opportunity. Jesus wants us to be the church, not come to church. Come on, church, wake up. I mean, people are out there, they're asking for help. They need us." But when Jeremiah says this in verse 27-28, I just think of this because I have a question for all of us. Why did God go ahead and instruct him to do what he did, knowing that he said that you're not going to be successful? You know what I think God said that to Jeremiah for? To show him his faithfulness to us. How many of you know this morning God has been faithful through all this to you? God has been faithful to us through all this, and he will remain faithful to us. My life verse is still Matthew 28:20. "And lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age." That will be on my headstone one day. Marie, we were talking about that this morning, and I didn't tell you that, but that, because I knew I was going to say it in the message. But that's my verse. He promised me he'd walk with me through the whole situation, and he will you too, church. But again, this morning, I just think about when he's saying this and the resistance that we see even in the world today. Let me say it to you this way, because I think God was going on record even then saying, "I want to tell you how bad situations can really get sometimes. How people of God, so to speak, really react sometimes." And can I tell you this morning, all of us have been there and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen, church? Because we just have. Turn with me quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I just want you to see just a few verses there real quick, because when I was preparing this and I thought about how unreal this whole message really is as far as the truth be told, and how is it really being told? Paul writes this to us as far as in the very first verse, because he says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant." Why does your pastor preach to you the way he does every Sunday? He doesn't want you to be ignorant of the fact of the Word of God, because he says, "Brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea, and they were all baptized into Moses and in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same." Do you know how many messages you all have heard at Rock Creek Church of God from great pastors and teachers and preachers? You've heard enough messages in Rock Creek Church of God to save the whole world. And here we are reading it again this morning in the passage of Scripture. "For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, yes, and the rock was Christ. But nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them." Wow. "Their bodies were scattered into the wilderness, and now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our own hearts on evil things as they did." And he says, "Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and to drink and to get up and indulge in the revelry." In other words, they were partying hardy. They just were. That's what the Word says. And then all of a sudden it goes into this. "We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by the snakes. And do not grumble." Here's that word again. "As some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. And then these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm," wow, hello, come on. Come on, Paul, talk to us. "So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation is overtaking you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But you, when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Church, this morning, here's the real meat of the message. You know what? He rolled us down and had Paul speak it to us because he wanted to show us again the stories that he intended to guide us as far as his people of God. We're people of God, of Rock Creek Church of God, and I think about many times because in verses 7 through 10, this incident, it really referred back to the Old Testament. In verse 7, it takes us back to the place of the Israelites because they had built a golden calf and they were worshiping in the desert. How many of us have ever had a golden calf in our life? My white Corvette, Corky, my white Corvette, my golf clubs at one time maybe. I mean, you guys got all kinds of things like that too. our sports or whatever, and we built that golden calf and we worshiped that baby. Don't lie to me. I know you. You did too. You did too. And now Paul's reminding us, don't go there. I wrote these things down to you so you can hear that. I'm so excited because I got a bad Bama Jamma at University of Alabama right now on a full ride baseball scholarship. I hope I get to see him this evening. He's throwing a baseball 95 to 100 mile an hour right now as a freshman, my kid from my church where I pastored all those years. I'm excited just to see him and stuff like that. That's not a golden calf, but he's at University of Alabama. And I told him, I said, Jake, I will yell for Alabama. Not when they're playing LSU in football, but I will, you know, everybody else I will. But I just think about what he says to us, and then he goes on in verse 8, and it's recorded in Numbers chapter 25, the first 9 verses, when the Israelites, they worship Baal. And we could go through all these scriptures like this, but the reference is totally to the Israelites, but it's to us today, because here they were complaining about their food. How many of you still have enough to eat? Huh? Last time I checked, there's still some eating joints in Hueytown and Bessemer and everything else. And guess what? Sure to God, Mama can still make you a fried egg or something, huh? We got food to eat, and we complain about everything. And we gripe about everything. And yet, verse 10, when Paul refers to this, to the people there, he said, you're complaining against Moses and Aaron. And he said, you know, the plagues that happened and stuff like that and resulted, that's in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 2 and verse 36 through there. So again, we're just going back and forth in Scripture. But it's reality with all of us because, again, we complain about the littlest things. You know, I was so amazed when I walked in last night again because, you know what, we did away with the pews years ago and stuff like that, you know, and all. And we went to the chairs and we added more people to the church and it was and stuff like that. And you know, and all of a sudden, those that complained the most were the ones that sit down front in the padded armchairs. They loved it because we got rid of the old pews. And it's like, what? We can complain over... Can I ask you, does it matter what difference the carpet color is when we get to heaven? Does it matter what if we still got paneling on the walls or whatever? I mean, come on, church. It's reality in our life today as far as who are we serving? Are we trying to impress the people? Are we trying to please the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not about this building. Never has been, never will be. And those of you that are watching this from Donovan, Missouri, you know your pastor said this all the time. It's never been about the building because the flood came and took our building and it washed it all away. It was all about the people of God that came to that house and still is to this day. When Paul writes this, though, in verse 10, and he said, you know, he said he warned the Corinthians believers not to grumble. I think about how our intentions really are and stuff like that. But you know what the real scripture there, what it really says to us is? It's not that they're really grumbling about what they have. What they're really grumbling is about what they have not. All of us go there. We're blessed like crazy. But Lord, I'd love to have that new truck. Lord, I'd love to have that new set of golf clubs. Lord, no, I don't. Do you know how old my golf clubs are? Some of you could care less. They're 10 years old. That's the first new set I've ever owned in my life. That's because three of us bought a set of golf clubs at a golf course one day. All three of us at the same time. They gave us a great price. So that's what I've never had a new set of golf clubs in my entire life until then, and I've had them for 10 years now. And nobody ever looks at my golf clubs. Well, those things are old. No, Wayne's old. But you know, I just think he tells us that all the time, so I can say that. But it's amazing to me because, again, when the Scripture says to us, look, He gave them a brand new nation. He gave them new land. And because they were so wrapped up, though, in what God wasn't doing for them, that they were so wrapped up in that, they didn't believe the things, because they always wanted to go back to the things that was left behind. Can I ask you this? I hear this all the time, and I'm sure if I was long enough around Rock Creek, I'd hear it again. But Brother Larry, I remember the glory days. Oh, I remember the glory days. Well, let me ask you something. If the glory days were so good, where are all those people? Huh? I mean, seriously, if the glory days were so glorious, why aren't they still in the house? Why aren't they still serving the Lord with you and I? Why aren't they doing the things of God? And that's what Paul was writing about. He said, man, you guys are griping, you're complaining, you're doing all these things. And yes, I wrote these things down to you. And so again, when I say where are all those folks, but before we judge them too hard, and sometimes I think we do, it might be helpful for us to really ask a good question, something like this. What occupies our attention most of the time? What really does? What takes most of our time? Now, I love sports as much as any of the rest of you here, and I used to say this all the time. Man, I knew when Alabama won, I knew when Auburn lost, because when you walked through the back door back there, I could tell you. You didn't have to tell me what the score was. And it's still like that till this day. I know that. But again, it's amazing to me because, again, the attention and the time that we set aside and stuff like that. But truth be told, we'd like to have it this way. We'd like to have that or whatever, something like that. But even since I've been here, and the Lord impressed me to write this down again while I go back and I was when Jonathan studied a moment ago. Do you know how blessed we really are to have life in itself? Do you know how blessed we really are to have family? Man, I walked in this morning and got to pray with five of my brothers that was family. Kenneth is still just as loosey and goosey as he ever was. I should have asked him point blank, did you bring your billfold? I take Kenneth everywhere and he'd never bring his billfold. Oh, brother, I forgot. And I'd have to buy his, you know. He's probably still like that today with Wayne. Yeah. But it's amazing. But our family, our friends, the food, our health, our work. But you know what? Verse 11 really caught me. Because the pressures of today, it makes it so easy to ignore or forget how good God really has been to us. It really does, because again, when he says that to us, and yet Paul cautioned us to remember the lessons from the Israelites, and yes, what we learned about God, and to avoid repeating those errors and stuff like that. But the key to this is remember, guys, it doesn't get too old to say these words. Read the Word. Study the Word. Memorize Scripture. Pray. But read God's Word daily. The words that are in there are for us. I would choose that you would not be ignorant, brothers and sisters. I choose this morning because, again, I say the key to remembering that is to study God's Word. And yet, I used to say this all the time. I don't want you to repeat the bad choices that we make. Yeah, they're lessons, but they're bad choices. It's not, oops, I made a mistake. No, you made a choice. And so, again, when I say that in verse 13, it's a culture filled with all the sin and all the things of this old world and the pressure today. Paul gives us strong encouragement. And if you don't hear anything else I've said, I want you to hear this. Because in the latter part of those scriptures, three things that pop out to me. He said, you know what? Wrong desire and temptations, they happen to everyone. So don't feel like you've been singled out. They happen to everybody. It's not just your selected few. No, they happen to everybody. And so he says, you know what? Don't feel like the pressure is just on you. But the second thing he says right there is that, but God's giving you a way to resist temptation too. God's giving you a way to resist temptation. But the third thing he says right there is God will help you through that temptation. And you know what? The very first word he says there is run. Run a little farther. But when I say that, run a little farther, run to God. Run to Lord Jesus Christ. Run to the altar of prayer. When was the last time you saw somebody literally falling all over themselves to get to the altar of prayer to pray? I mean, literally, really falling all over themselves to repent, to turn from the wicked ways and go their separate ways and stuff like that. So again, when I think about this, we run many times in the wrong direction. Instead of running to God, we run right back to sin. But God in his word right there says, choose your friends right. And yes, pray for God's help to seek those friends who will be by God and be by you and stuff like that. But yet, he'll help you from that temptation because running from the situation and the people. Because if you're really asking God and praying for God, truth be told, to really help you, he'll keep you from those folks. I used to tell our kids all the time this, and I still do to this day. Choose your mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa. Choose your friends wisely. Well, Brother Larry, they drink a little bit, and it's okay. Well, is it? Is it? Because do you drink a little bit, and it's okay? Last time I read, I think that's still not right. As far as in my book, what I read called the Bible, yes, basic instruction before leaving earth. Well, Lord, help us again this morning because, again, truth be told. Do we really want to hear the truth? Do we really want to know the truth? Do we really want to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to bless us? Two different passages of scriptures, but I want to close my sermon this morning with this. When I was kind of imploring you a while ago, how many of you have ever listened to Caleb? And some of you raised your hands, some of you shook your heads and said yes, like that. You know, I didn't ask Wayne before the service, but I was going to, and I didn't come back in here and ask him again, but I know he knows who Matthew West is. Matthew West is a great Christian artist and Christian singer, something like that. Matthew West, last week on Caleb, they had a little video clip that this young man had really, he's like 10 years old, something like that. He's got an illness, and it's a severe illness and stuff like that. But he had written Matthew West about one of these songs. And all of a sudden, Caleb fixed it up where FaceTime, where they had the Caleb disc jockey was with the little boy and the little and his mom on the other FaceTime, and said his name, and I won't say it this morning, but said his name and said, "Hey, would you like to hear from Matthew West?" And he goes, "Oh yes." And all of a sudden, Matthew West comes live on the page, like on the Caleb, and is talking to the little boy and gets to sing, and the little boy is just crying his eyes out because Matthew West spoke to him. This song that Matthew West wrote that has changed my heart, but it's changed my life, but I pray it will change yours too. Now, I'm not going to sing it. I could, but I'm not going to sing it this morning. But my message, I told you, is called Truth Be Told. That's the name of the song. And that's where I got my whole message from. Because truth be told, it goes like this. Listen to the words. What Wayne said to you all ago, he didn't know I was going to say it again right now. Truth be told. Lie number one, you're supposed to have it all together right. How many of you know that's a lie? Lie number one, you're all supposed to have it all together. And when they ask you how you're doing, just smile and tell them, never better. Man, we lie to each other so well in the church, it's unbelievable. How you doing? I'm doing great. Liar, liar, pants on fire, hung your nose on telephone wire. Right? I mean, we lie to each other like crazy. And so, he says, lie number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours, right? But he goes on to say, so keep your messes and your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. I love how he says it. We're not supposed to tell each other that we're really struggling. Well, I thought the scripture said, share with one another the burdens that you have. Truth be told. Truth be told, the truth is rarely told. That's what the song says. The truth is rarely told. I say I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. You're fine. Everybody's fine. All God's children's fine. But you know what? I'm broken. And can I tell you? We ought to say amen right then because we're all broken. Amen, church? But when he goes on and says this, and when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not. And I know it. And guess what? Everybody else does too. Everybody sitting in the house this morning knows somebody that's upside down. And they may even be sitting beside you. Or it may even be you. And everybody else knows it, but we don't want to fess up. And the song goes on and says this, I don't know why it's so hard to admit it when being honest is the only way to fix it. Yeah. There's no failure. There's no fall. There's no sin that you don't already know. So let the truth be told. Wow. That's the first verse. But church, here's where it really hit us. And I pray it hit you this morning. I really do. I'm not trying to bring conviction. The Lord Jesus Christ does that. But the second verse goes like this. There's a sign on the door. It says, come as you are. But I doubt it. Great line in the song. Come as you are, but I doubt it. Because if we lived like that was true, every Sunday morning pew would be crowded. Woo! Isn't that true? I mean, if we really said we reach our hand in fellowship to every blood-washed Christian, the house would be full. Well, you know, brother, they don't believe like we do. Well, they might if you love them and bring them into the house. It might be crowded. And then he says, but don't you say that the church should look like a hospital? How many times have we said that? The church should look like a hospital, a safe place for the sick, the sinner, and the scarred, and the prodigals, like you and like me. Well, truth be told, the truth is rarely told. Or am I the only one who says, I'm fine, yeah, I'm fine, but really I'm not, I'm broken. Lord, we're all broken vessels, I know that. But this is the tag of the song. And when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not, and you know it. I don't know why it's so hard to admit it when being honest is the only way to fix it. There's no failure, no fall. There's no sin you don't already know. So let the truth be told. Can I really stand here unashamed knowing that you love me for me and won't change? Oh God, if it's really true, then let the truth be told. I say I'm fine, oh I'm fine, but I'm not. I'm broken. And when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not. And you know it. I don't know why it's so hard to admit it, but being honest is the only way to fix it. There's no failure, no fall. There's no sin you don't already know. Yeah, I know there's no failure, no fall. There's no sin you don't already know. So let the truth be told. We're all broken. Jeremiah taught us this morning. Paul taught us this morning. Matthew West in his song, Truth Be Told. Do we really know what the truth is today? My Lord Jesus Christ loves you, and He wants you to have a right relationship with Him. Would you stand with me this morning? Lord, we need You today. I pray, Lord, even before Wayne comes to lead us in this song, I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here this morning, I don't care if they need to come and pray for themselves, if they need to come and pray for somebody else, I just pray they'll come this morning and pray. If you're watching this morning, and you're on Facebook with us, and you're watching this morning, and we need to pray with you, call Brother Jonathan, call me, call somebody else in the church or whatever like that. Or I don't care, some of you got our phone numbers and stuff like that. Call us. We need to be about the Master's business, and we need to be together in Jesus' name. So let the truth be told. We're broken this morning, and Lord, we need You. We need You as a congregation. We need You as a community. Lord, as far as Union Hill, there are other churches back there in Georgia that had to close down too just because of that same reason. So, Lord, we're praying again for our brothers and sisters that we've been made known of that now this morning. And so, Lord, I know there are lost people in this community that need Jesus. So let the truth be told. Lord, we need You this day. If you feel that the Lord has spoken to your heart, would you come forward this morning and let's pray together and unite together as a church to pray for this community. Pray for your pastor. Pray for his family and be about the Master's business, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Church, won't you be seated just for a moment before we're dismissed today. And thank you so much for praying. Pat, thank you for offering that. Larry, thank you for speaking, sharing what God laid on your heart. You know, as we go today, there's a family in South Alabama when the first hurricane came through. And they were members of the Church of God down there. They were in a trailer, and that trailer was completely taken out. And so they didn't have insurance. The state has asked if churches would be willing to give a love offering for specifically that family. And so we sent out a message a couple of weeks ago letting you know that we were going to receive that today. If you didn't come ready to give to that, it's okay. I know that they would be willing to receive that later. But if you did, we want to invite you as you leave this place today. There's a offering plate in the narthex. You can drop that in there. There's if you would like a credit for that, there's some envelopes there that you can fill out and drop your offering in that envelope. But we just want to lift that family up today as we leave and pray for them. You know, as many of you know, what it's like to lose everything and how to start over and what that process is like and how good it feels when people come and gather around you and you know in that moment that you're not alone. And so I want to pray as we're dismissed today and just thank you for being here. Thank you for joining with us online. It's great to have you here. Next week, I plan to speak, and we're going to wrap up our series. And so it's been something that God has really challenged me on. And Larry, I appreciate your words challenging me today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your grace. God, just for the opportunity we have in moments like these to gather together as the church and to hear the truth. And so, Lord, I pray that we would not just simply hear it and walk away, but, Lord, that it would truly sink inside of us, Lord, that it would transform us, Lord, that it would change us as we leave this place today through the power and the mercy of Jesus Christ. God, we lift up this family in South Alabama, and, Lord, I know that so many of here can not only sympathize but empathize, but, of course, Lord, they've walked that same road. And so, God, we pray that as we give, Lord, that You would make this much more than it is. Lord, I think of the young man who gave his lunch and You took it and You fed 5,000. Lord, there is no way he could know, Lord, that the little that he offered would do so much until he gave it to You. And so, Lord, I pray that as Your church gives today, not just here, but throughout this state, Lord, that it would provide in a very powerful way to the Church of God in South Alabama, specifically to this family. Lord, as they realize that we are not alone, But Lord, your church is far bigger than what we see. Lord, and your word goes is far more powerful than we could ever know. So Lord, we thank you for today. We give you praise and glory and honor for your word today. And we ask that this week you would help us to be light, to be salt, to be your hands and your feet. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You are dismissed.